For the next few days on WBUR's Morning Edition, we're going to take a look at healthcare. Not healthcare in the U.S., but in Canada. Here's why.
Canada somehow has figured out a way to provide health care to every man, woman, and child. And in most cases, they're spending 50% per capita what we are spending.
That, of course, is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders hoisting up Canada's healthcare system as an example of a universal system that works for everyone. Sanders and fellow presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren want to provide universal health coverage for all Americans and abolish private insurance companies in the process. Under the Canadian system, patients pay nothing out of pocket for surgeries, tests, and childbirth, and much less of the Canadian economy goes to healthcare than in the U.S. But it's hardly a perfect system we found, at least in the province of Nova Scotia. Today, we hear from Nova Scotia healthcare providers.
It's just an immoral standard of care, really. There's been times where I've thought this was my last day.
I can't fathom practicing medicine the way I was forced to practice last winter.
These are two surgeons, Drs. Rebecca Brewer and Robert Miller. They work in the emergency department at Valley Regional Hospital in Kentville, Nova Scotia, a commercial center about an hour outside the capital, Halifax. They say their ER has become increasingly dangerously overcrowded. Across rural Nova Scotia, there aren't enough medical professionals, surgeons, nurses, and specialists like anesthesiologists. There's also a shortage of beds for long-term care patients who end up taking ER beds. Dr. Brewer is afraid this winter could be even worse than last winter when they had too many patients and not enough beds.
When you bring in a patient, no matter what kind of state they're in, you had to talk to them with no privacy. And then you had to look them in the eye and tell them that they needed to get up out of that stretcher and they had to go back to the waiting room because you only had two stretchers when you should have had 20.
We end up doing a lot of medicine in the hallways where confidentiality is not guaranteed. You know, I mean, you can't do a lot of private exams in hallways, so things get missed.
If they were one of the less lucky ones, they would be in a chair sitting there waiting for several days at a time for a bed to open up.
Must be enormously stressful.
It is, because none of us want to treat people like this.
Doctors Miller and Brewer also told us sometimes they've taken money out of their own pockets to hire another ER doctor to cope with the patient load. Many critics say the Canadian healthcare system is in crisis. Emergency departments all over Nova Scotia are often closed for hours or days at a time, as we found when we visited one Nova Scotia town.
So we've come to the town of Annapolis Royal because it has a small community health center, the Annapolis Community Health Center.
When we pulled up to the health center, we parked in one of the three empty spaces usually reserved for doctors. The ER was locked and there was a sign on the door.
It says the Collaborative Emergency Center will be closed from 8 a.m. today, reopening at 8 p.m. tonight. If you have an emergency, call 911.
Nonetheless, Daniel Marsh, the hospital's administrator, let us in. Inside of the closed ER, I leaned on an empty gurney in the dimmed hallway. To the right and left were empty exam rooms, ready for patients who were not there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
Can we interview you or you?
Marsh says it takes seven doctors to maintain a full-time ER schedule and says he doesn't have them.
Due to retirement and physicians choosing to leave to work in the city, we're now down to five doctors. Rather than have unexplained, unexpected closures, we have predictable planned closures every Tuesdays and Thursday.
Which means if your emergency is on a Tuesday or a Thursday, you go elsewhere. It could mean a 60-mile drive. There are 37 emergency departments around Nova Scotia. This fall, WBUR tracked ER closures and found that almost half, mostly in rural areas, were periodically shut down, sometimes on less than 24 hours' notice. Collectively, the shutdowns ran at least 6,500 hours in just 2 months. Across Canada, the number of doctors has actually grown relative to the population in the past 5 years, yet about 15% 80% of Canadians 12 and older still don't have access to a family doctor, what we might call our primary care physician. That number hovers around 13% in Nova Scotia. It forces patients into emergency rooms just to get a prescription filled or for routine care. So, what's driving this doctor shortage?
It doesn't take long for word to spread that Nova Scotia is not a particularly hospitable place to practice.
That is Dr. Gary Ernst, head of the physicians group Doctors Nova Scotia, who says doctors are leaving Nova Scotia for other provinces for several reasons.
One is they can earn more, and two, they don't feel that their patients can access the resources, the tests, getting to see specialists in time. And this has contributed to the issue with burnout with physicians in general, which is huge, and just disengagement.
Dr. Ernst says he knows doctors who were born and raised in Nova Scotia who are practicing elsewhere and want to return home. But he says they've been warned to stay away by their colleagues.
For a long time, the Department of Health here, as well as the main governing body that determines how health is delivered, has not been receptive to doctors who are not part of their organization.
That main governing body is called the Nova Scotia Health Authority. Canadian federal law guarantees, quote, reasonable access to health services for all Canadians. But the law leaves it up to the provinces to design and deliver health care. And in Nova Scotia, doctors have been paid the least of any province. However, just last week, a new contract between doctors and the provincial government was reached that will bump Nova Scotia doctor pay to the highest of all four Atlantic provinces. On the whole, Dr. Ernst says he's optimistic.
The Nova Scotia Health Care Authority has really taken steps to try and reverse the attitudes that existed before. There has been a change in senior management there. There's been a change in the head of the board of directors. And so we've already seen evidence that things are improving that way.
Of the many issues doctors face in delivering universal health care in Nova Scotia, a big one is that Nova Scotia is a very rural place. We know, of course, there are rural parts of the U.S. where delivering medical treatment is also a challenge. We've heard from Nova Scotia doctors, but what can the U.S. learn from patients in the Canadian healthcare system?
I received a diagnosis of terminal breast cancer. And I was taken care of lickety-split because when you're really sick, they don't waste any time with you at all.
Medical patients in Nova Scotia, tomorrow on WBUR's Morning Edition. This story was produced by WBUR's Wilder Fleming. I'm Bob Oakes.